This is an I Am Listening podcast.
Anne was quite obviously a very large part of the community in Maidstone. She was highly regarded for her constituency work, i.e. helping people in the community with specific issues. And she was seen a lot and interacted a lot with the people of Maidstone. So people had a lot of respect for her.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, and this is our weekly bite-sized roundup of Kent's political news. Kent's political world and beyond continues to be rocked by the news of the death of former Kent MP Anne Widdecombe. Miss Widdecombe hadn't lived in the county for some time, but had represented the Maidstone constituency, later known as Maidstone and the Weald, for 23 years, between 1987 and 2010. She was undoubtedly one of the biggest characters in politics. The circumstances surrounding her death are still being investigated, and a murder inquiry is underway. But in the meantime, scores of tributes have been paid to the former Tory minister, who became a reform spokesperson in her later years. From the politicians she worked alongside and debated heartily with, to the TV teams who met her after she took up a career in showbiz, and the constituents she so proudly represented, there have been plenty of memories to share. You will find many of them on our website at Kent Online. The 78-year-old had lived for some time in Devon, but her links to Maidstone were long and strong. Here's Maidstone Council leader, Councillor Stuart Jeffrey.
Anne was quite obviously a very large part of the community in Maidstone. She was highly regarded for her constituency work, i.e. helping people in the community with specific issues. And she was seen a lot and interacted a lot with the people of Maidstone. So people had a lot of respect for her. 23 years is a very long time to be an MP and represent an area. Hence, she was so well known and was able to help so many people. So which she did. And you know, I can attest to her answering every email and letter that I ever wrote to her. Even if I didn't like the answers, that I always got an answer, which was nice.
What was she like as a person, you know, when you sort of were with her in person or discussing an issue? What was she like?
She was extremely forthright in her views. She had no qualms about speaking her mind. We disagreed on many, many things, but she was always willing to talk to me about them and to others about them, despite our very different opinions on stuff. So which is good, and it's why it's what I expect from good politicians, is that willingness to discuss and debate.
What sort of, you know, reaction have you heard from people around Maidstone? I mean, this is a huge national story, and I know she lived down on Dartmoor, you know, in her later years, but it is a huge sort of connection she had to Maidstone.
Yeah, and people have been, we put a statement out last week, and people have been commenting on that. And often the comments are how Anne helped them on various issues. The one that sprung to mind was a woman who said she approached Anne because she was facing eviction, and helped, and she's still in that house 20 years later. You know, that's the kind of story you get, and it's heartwarming that she intervened at that very granular level to support people in their day-to-day lives.
Although Miss Widdecombe held several ministerial positions in Sir John Major's government, she is remembered best locally as a hard-working constituency MP who lived in Sutton Valence and had made the county her home. Many, many people, it seems, have an Anne Widdecombe story to tell, and that includes me. I was working as a news editor at the Kent Messenger while Anne was MP for the area, and without fail, there was never a time when she didn't answer a query from us. You'd pick up the phone and hear, "It's Anne," in her unmistakable high-pitched tone. No other introduction was needed. Who else would it be? She could come up with a concise, hard-hitting quote at the drop of a hat, and you always knew exactly where you stood with her. There was no time wasting on fanciful wishes. Her statements were strong and to the point. When Anne announced she would be stepping down as Maidstone's MP, our editor had the idea to invite her in to oversee one of our papers. We thought she'd just sit in on our news meeting, pose for a few photos and make a few minor suggestions. Not so. She chaired the meeting properly with clear instructions of what she'd like out of several stories and sent our reporting team on their merry way to deliver what she'd asked for. Quite why we expected anything different, I'll never know, but it was a day I'll never forget. Our thoughts are, of course, with all of Anne's family and friends.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Pretty much every council in Kent has a public spaces protection order, or PSPO, of some sort. Almost all of them ban things like antisocial drinking, sometimes manoeuvring on mopeds gets singled out, that sort of thing. Kent's only city, Canterbury, already has a PSPO covering the high street. It includes things like stopping delivery drivers from riding down that stretch in certain hours of the day, and makes it so that antisocial drinkers have to surrender their booze if asked to do so. Controversially, it also includes rules which can fine persistent beggars if they cause alarm or distress. These PSPOs are time limited, and the current one in Canterbury is set to run out at the start of 2027. As such, the City Council is consulting on a possible new one. As part of this, the provisions on persistent begging are going to be removed, since the Vagrancy Act of 1824 has been officially repealed. And the authority says that by their nature, beggars are often either unable to pay or being exploited, so issuing fines is not the right approach. They are, however, proposing and consulting on a new addition to the rules, and this one's about noise. It would see some sort of regulation over the use of amplifiers, technically prohibiting it and making it so that people have to turn them down when asked by an authorised person, or face a fine if they don't comply. Canterbury has quite a long high street drag and is known to have its fair share of buskers, performers and sometimes even preachers, all plying their trade using amplifiers and the like. Out on the streets of Canterbury, local Democracy reporter Dan Essen and our KMTV colleague Megan Shaw went out to see what people thought. Buskers themselves, perhaps unsurprisingly, were quite critical. They said that simply asking people to turn the noise down would probably be enough, and that they wouldn't get many buskers persistently refusing to do that when asked. Members of the public were broadly supportive of the buskers too. Most people told us they've never thought any of the buskers to be offensively loud, and that a lively culture of street performers is a distinctive feature of the cathedral city. However, the council says the proposal came about after an increase in noise complaints about amplification in the past year or so. Either way, as it stands, the plans are only a draft, and we won't know for a definite if the rule will end up being included for some months. In Medway, there was relief for many councillors and residents as a huge application for 800 homes was dismissed at appeal after being refused by the town's council back in December. Richborough Estates Limited put forward plans for the development last year for the 50-hectare site just north of the A289 in Wainscott. It would have included 800 homes, 240 of which were due to be affordable ones, a primary school, community centre and a retirement home. However, it received massive opposition from local residents, with 176 letters of objection, and council officers also recommended it be refused when it came before members of the planning committee. They said the added pressure on local services, particularly the road network and the nearby Four Elms roundabout, which is regularly a nightmare for drivers, as well as the loss of landscape and agricultural land, was too significant of an impact to justify the development. However, even before the refusal had been given, Richborough had already filed for an appeal to the Planning Inspectorate on the grounds that Medway Council had taken too long to decide. The case went before Inspector Nick Fagan in May, where he ultimately sided with the authority. Therefore, the refusal of the plans has been upheld, and a spokesperson for Richborough Estates has said that it is disappointed in the result and considering next steps. Parents and campaigners have launched a petition to flag a safety issue at one of the county's newest secondary schools, and it has thrown political rivals together. Chilmington Green School near Ashford, which opened in 2023, has no public transport links, which seems extraordinary in this day and age. Mums, dads and carers say the designated safe walking route is unsafe, will be poorly lit in winter, requires children to walk alongside roads with 40 mile per hour speed limits, and includes one section on a grass verge. The route is around 3 miles long, and for those on the outer edge of the catchment area, they say it's simply too far and too dangerous to consider. This means all the children, except a few who cycle or live nearby, have to be driven to school. This impacts on home and work life for the parents, but also robs the young people of that special sense of independence they get from going to secondary school. Now, in an act of parent power, the adults are demanding Kent County Council steps up and provides a bus service for school drop-off and pick-up times. Parents say they are prepared to fund the scheme through fares. The school was conceived and built to service the expected 6,000-plus houses that would be built in that area outside Ashford. The plan hit an obstacle when the developer for these houses went bust, meaning there is little prospect of a commercial bus provider stepping in anytime soon because there is no demand. The campaign has been supported by Conservative County Councillor Bill Barrett and Reform's Nick Wibberley. The school has only 3 year groups at the moment, but will swell over time to more than 1,000 pupils, which could cause major traffic headaches. Councillor Barrett, who represents a division in the school's catchment area, said Chilmington Green School may be one of the very few in the county without a bus service. This is not the first time unlikely political bedfellows have cooperated recently. Earlier this week, the Tories and Reform teamed up to stamp out antisocial behaviour in the Gravesend and Dartford area, and the Greens and Restore Britain tried to save a post office near Sevenoaks. As far as getting a bus for Chilmington Green School, there is an impasse. KCC says that a bus service would be dependent on a subsidy coming from the houses which cannot be built yet, and it cannot find an operator willing to take the route on. And the authority said the walking route had been tested and deemed safe. Ashford Borough Council said it does not run bus services, but notes that as the community expands, it will be important for Kent County Council, as the Highways and Education Authority, to consider and arrange appropriate bus provision. That's it from us this week. You can find more on the stories we've featured at our politics page at Kent Online, plus the latest breaking news. This week, while we're recording, a decision has been announced over local government reorganisation, the biggest shake-up in 50 years. You'll be able to find out what the government has decided for Kent and reaction to that on our website. And for even more, you can find details of how to sign up for our weekly newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.